Well, as everybody, I guess, read that Amelia, my wife, will be doing the sermons.
She will.
Yeah, I want
No
applause
problem.
afterward. And she gave us a bag with a happy face on it. I think we're supposed to put it right in the middle of the sermon and just sit there. But I don't know. She'll tell us what it's for.
She'll tell us.
Yeah. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you've given us life. You've given us joy. You've given us peace in this troubled world, Father, that's in our midst. So we know you are there for us. You will always protect us. And that you love us more than we can ever imagine.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you for the people here local and the people on Zoom. Bless them this week. Give them peace. Give them encouragement. Give them joy. And I thank you for Amelia, my wife. Give her boldness to preach her
Yes.
sermon. And we thank you for her, and we thank you for Dawn and Sue, who are in France now. And we ask for their safety and their safe return. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hope everybody's doing well. All right, so when Don asked me to do this, speaking in front of people doesn't really come easily for me, so bear with me because I'm probably going to be mostly reading. Anyway, so hopefully they're doing well. I've been thinking about them in Spain. I don't know when they're going to France. Is it today? Does anyone know?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, it's tomorrow. So I have to admit, I was a little jealous. But anyway, so the topic that I thought about as I thought about this was wanting Jesus, because that's something that has been on my heart a lot this year. At the beginning of the year, when everybody's doing their New Year's resolutions, that's something that I usually don't do because I'm just a natural rebel. So I'll make a resolution and then I'll break it. So, this year I said, okay, what needs to change? So I said, Lord, what should I do? What would you have me if I did make a resolution? What should it be about? What should I do? And the word that immediately came up was gratitude. I was like, oh, okay. It's nothing like having Jesus, the Holy Spirit, really just showing you, and it wasn't in a bad, a harsh way or anything like that. It was just like gratitude, work on gratitude. So I thought about, what gratitude means, and the thing that came to mind is a lot of times when I'm struggling, what I need to do when I'm struggling with gratitude, when I'm struggling with just being grateful for what I have and not thinking about things I don't have. It's, worship. The first thing that I need to do is just give glory and honor to God and thank Him for everything, whatever circumstance.
Right.
And so lately, my heart's been longing for something that I can't really name. It's not necessarily things, lots of times we like lately, we probably need to think about getting another car, but it's not things necessarily. There's this longing that, things that, there's this longing for, things that I haven't been able to do in my life, like I wish I'd been able to become a midwife, for instance, but that didn't happen for me. And it's okay. I'm okay with that now, you know, but there has been longing for, you know, thinking about some of the failures that I've had, like things that I should have done that I didn't do, not necessarily that, but just in life, you know, and raising our children and things like that. I've longed for more intimate earthly relationships, which is not a bad thing to long for, right? But, you know, it's still a longing for something that I, and it's not that I don't have some of those, but it's just, I have days where I feel alone. That's not really true. That's not truth. But, you know, the enemy will come in and make us doubt and make us think about, you know, when we're alone, right? There's been longings to travel. Horace can tell you every other day I'm going, we should go to this place and we should go to that place. Oh, I really want to go to France and stay in Chris and April's place. I really want to go to Spain and go see my cousin. You know, I want to go here and I want to go there. And Horace is, he loves being at home, you know, and I admire that about him because he's just content with being at home and being with the friends that he has and not needing all these new things. And I'm just totally the opposite. I think because I grew up as a military brat, you know, my dad was in the military and then I married a military person. I was always moving my entire life. So we've been here in Newport News longer than I've ever lived anywhere ever. Wow. And, I think we've been here 27, maybe going on, I don't know. We moved here in 98. So my old brain can't do mental math anymore, but something like 27 years, which is a long time when you're used to moving every 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, I said all that to say there's longing for things, not necessarily stuff, but and I'm ashamed to admit that a lot of days when I wake up in the morning, when I first wake up in the morning, I forget that I'm the daughter of the king. Okay. I'm just Amelia. And it's like, I got to get out of bed. I'm hurting. You know, when you get older, it's like everything hurts, you know, and you get out of bed and it's like, you know, and you just, I don't know. It just makes having to get out of bed hard. Okay. And, you know, I forget that he's made me righteous by his blood sacrifice because, number one, I'm not necessarily thinking about him. I'm just thinking about life and all the circumstances that everyone faces in life. I think about our children, especially our wayward children. I worry about them a lot. I cry over them a lot, you know. I feel sad. I feel like a failure when I think about them because some, you know, and that's just one of my struggles, okay? I think about what did we do wrong? What did we fail to do? But it's not that. And I remember Sue one time told me, with one of my children, she said when they were like in their late teens and they were being really rebellious. And she said, they're packing their bags. They're putting in what you've given them, but they're taking some things out to put other things in. And so I've often thought about that conversation and that was years ago,
Mm-hmm.
But I always, you know, when I'm really feeling that way, I remember that conversation and I remembered, you know, okay, God, you've got them, help, you know, so I just pray for them. That's just my job, right? As a mom, to just pray for my kids and for my grandkids. he's been reminding me that he's bigger than this old age and this pain. And he's bigger than death, bigger than sin. he knows every little detail about our lives, right down to the number of hairs mm-hmm. on our head. And that could be a lot for some people, mm-hmm. maybe not so many for others, but you know, it's still, I don't know how many hairs I have on my head. So to think and to compliment that God knows that is just I'm just like, wow, it's becoming so, just to contemplate that. It seems like a silly thing to think about, just the hairs on your head, but it's not just the hairs on your head, you know. Right. It's every little detail, excuse me, every little detail of your life, every single tiny detail. And to me, that's just phenomenal. And it helps me, you know, turn around and go, okay, I don't need to be thinking this way. I need to remember who Jesus is. So he's a lot bigger than me. and I've been realizing that this constant longing that we tend to feel, and probably some of us more than others. I know some of you are really, really, you know, I won't say that I'm unstable, but really more stable than I am, maybe emotionally. But I think we all do have longings for things. And I've been realizing one of the things that I've been longing for is Jesus. It's a deep, deep longing for him. It's a deep, deep longing for the garden. I think about that's one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is just the garden. Imagine Adam and Eve walking in the garden, naked and unashamed, with Jesus and with God in his presence, unashamed. That's a very hard thing for me to fathom in this state that I'm in, you know, in this life that we live, in this now and not yet world. It's hard for me to think about, wow, can you imagine just being able to walk around naked and unashamed, for one thing, you know, no, cover up, cover up. And just, you know, sin is just not a thing. Death is not a thing. Pain is not a thing. And Horace and I both, you know, lately with his, you know, shingles that he's been having to deal with, and then a thing in his back, he's been experiencing a lot of pain. I've been in pain for years, just because I inherited my dad's arthritis. He had really, really bad arthritis, and I have inherited that. But just to imagine life without that pain, you know, without the dark emotional times sometimes that we can all experience, to me is amazing. And one of the things that I've been longing for is just to know that I really am a wanted daughter of a king, you know, because I have struggled all my life feeling like I was a mistake. I wasn't really wanted, blah, 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 blah. And those are all lies, you know, those are all lies. God created me and he meant to create me. And I have to remind myself of that when I'm feeling low and feeling that way. And it's funny because, you know, I wrote this down, and it's funny because Sue texted me this morning and she said, remember that you're the daughter of the king. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess you're trying to say something, God. so that was really cool. But so the king that we are all children of, you know, we are sons and daughters of the king. He is the king that frees people that are enslaved to addiction.
Yes.
He frees people who are in bondage, whether it's emotional bondage or some other kind of bondage. He is the God who can raise the dead by his Holy Spirit resurrection power. He's omnipotent, eternal, you know, thinking about eternity. You know, when I'm worried about my children, when I'm feeling down in the dumps, all those things, I'm not really thinking about eternity, am I? So he's been reminding me, think about eternity, you know, think of what you have to look forward to. You know, we have to live in this now and this not yet world. But it's not without help. You know, we have Holy Spirit help to get through this now and not yet world. So I've been wondering, what in the world, when I'm longing for things I don't have, what in the world am I longing for when I have everything in him? Everything. And Horace can tell you, I'm probably going to need to remake this resolution for next year too, because I am a very slow learner. You know, and I know that we all struggle, and I hope it's okay that I'm being a little vulnerable here, but I chose to do that because I know we all have our struggles.
Amen.
And I just, you know, I wanted to be able to, you know, that's my way of being able to relate to people, I think. Anyways, let's look at Psalm 42. I'll give y'all a minute. Psalm 42, 1 through 4. So it's a psalm we're all very familiar with, but this is the one that always reminds me, you know, that reminds me to long for Jesus. It reminds me to long for God when other things are happening. So as a deer longs, and this is from the NLT version, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. When can I go and stand? I thirst for the God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Does that sound familiar? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. So the psalmist here, and I'm not sure who it was, because some places say it was the sons of Korah, and some say it could be David. So I don't know. I'm just going to say the psalmist because I'm not sure who it was. This psalmist is on the struggle bus, isn't he? He's thinking about the past, and I do that a lot. I'll think about better times in the past, for instance. I think about when my kids were little and all those sweet, their sweet little toddler voices. When I think of my kids, that's how I will always remember them. You know, it's hard for me to, I know they're adults now and they have adult voices and they make adult decisions. And for the most part, they're all really, they have good heads on their shoulders and they're not troublemakers or anything like that. And I'm very grateful for that. But I can't help, as a mom, I still hear their little three-year-old voices, you know, and it makes me smile. But I long for that. You know, I wish for those better times. And it's not necessarily the better times. But, you know, if you're a mom, you understand. And even if you're not, you know, we do long for times past that were we deem to be maybe better, where we were maybe happier or something. I long for those times when I could hold my babies. And it's sad that they have to grow up, you know. I like to say all the time, I used to tell them to stop growing. And, you know, they didn't get very tall, but they did grow up. So that didn't work, right? So though I often start my day with emotional struggles, God quickly reminds me that he's with me. He reminds me of scriptures that have encouraged me along the way. He reminds me that he loves my silly conversations with him. One of them being, it's okay if you laugh. One of them being, when I'm driving at night, I feel a lot of anxiety driving at night because, well, number one, my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. So I try to avoid that. But I'll pray, Lord, please don't let me hit any little or big animals or people, you know. And so he just reminds me that he likes those silly little conversations with me because they're real, you know. He loves those authentic conversations with him, those authentic prayers, their conversations. he draws me into worship. You know, he beckons me to come and just give glory to him and worship him. And a lot of times that's in the car too. When I'm by myself, I'll be singing at the top of my lungs. He reminds me that he loves my off-key notes. You know, he loves that I know notes that only he knows exist. he draws me into his intimate, loving presence, which is a presence where I feel his love and his embrace. I know I'm loved. I gain confidence to be who he's called me to be. And outside of that, I don't have that. You know, outside of being in his presence and remembering him, I don't have that confidence at all. I don't feel loved, you know, none of those things. But when I remember him, then I know. To worship God is to enter a completely different reality, isn't it? It's one where we might feel hopeless. We might see the circumstances in front of us and be overwhelmed by them. But when we worship God, it's like those things are so tiny now compared to who he is. It's a completely different reality. That's the only way I can explain it. It's a reality where there's so much hope, so much love, so much grace, so much forgiveness. You know, I could be super angry and I start to worship God and he reminds me of how much he's forgiven me for mm-hmm. things. And then he reminds me, you can let this anger go. You can let this disappointment go. You can let this, whatever it is, you know, that I'm feeling, it just falls because it's so unimportant compared to him. Shame and sorrow disappear. when we are down in the dumps, Jesus is calling us and waiting for us to run to him so he can give us glimpses. I call them glimpses because, like I mentioned earlier, it's now not yet world. So we can only see glimpses, but he is happy to give us these glimpses of his beautiful kingdom. And those little glimpses sometimes are so, it's like, wow, okay. They can be so healing, so restorative, better than a massage. Just kidding. Well, no, not his. It's true. That's true, right? He can lavish our hearts with his love and heal our weary hearts. And that's often what I need. I just need healing for this weary journey that we're on. Worship is like a sword that cuts through the fog of self. I'm often very self-focused. I'm ashamed to admit. When I'm thinking about my problems, I'm being self-focused. So worship, it cuts through that fog. It takes us out of our little world and places us inside of his big presence. His presence is so big. When we are just focused on ourselves, we can't see. We can't see all of this eternity, the garden that we will return to someday. You know, it's hidden from us. It changes our perspective and brings us into the reality of God's kingdom, which is not limited by our insecurities. It's not limited by our sin. It's not limited by our weakness, right? Worry, and I worry a lot, mostly for my kids, but you know, I think about the future sometimes. I worry about this, worry about that. And it's like, you have no control over any of that. Yeah. And I think just as a woman, I think we're more prone to worrying. I don't know. Maybe I think men worry too, but maybe it's different. I don't know. But I think, you know, as women, we are fairly prone to being anxious and worrying and things like that. Worry fences us in and puts our self-person front and center, right? But worship, you know, an opportunity for us to show gratitude to God, sets us free from that fenced in terrible place and puts us in God's presence where we find that true love, freedom, hope, joy, all of those things, healing. Okay. And so now We come to that little fun exercise. And so you guys at home, I'm sorry, I should have warned you at first. So I brought these paper bags for everyone. And as everyone guessed, it's for putting on your head. So if you want to participate, you can grab a blanket or something, whatever you have, Mandy. If not, it's okay. It's
all of
you. Just imagine it. So I want to put the bag in my head, but I got to be able to move the words here. So put the bag on your head. All right. I'll be like this so I can read. So when we have this bag on our heads, what do we see?
Not much.
You know, and it's a silly exercise, but just to demonstrate, you know, when we have this bag on our head, what are we focused on? We're focused on what's inside of this bag, which represents our life circumstances, which represents us. And so, you know, that's, so just be thinking about some of those things, that maybe cause you to focus inward, that cause you to focus on life circumstances that we have no control over, life circumstances that maybe cause us to feel, sad, lonely, depressed, whatever, or anxiety. Now take off the bag. And what do we see?
Everybody.
So we take the bag off of our heads. And I'm not saying we walk around with bags on our heads all the time. Not, I mean to, hopefully it, no one felt I was insulting them. No. I was just trying to demonstrate, you know, the reality that we kind of walk around that way sometimes. And that's just normal. That's human nature, right? So when we take that bag off, I know what I see. What do you guys see? Number one, I see you guys.
Yeah,
right
around us.
I see something beyond myself, mm-hmm. is mostly what I'm trying to say. I see God's beautiful expression of love, which is his church. One of his many beautiful expressions of love.
Yeah.
Is his people, his church. And I do love you guys. So, you know, I don't say it enough, but I do. I really appreciate all of you. So, you know, just be thinking about, you know, this week as you go, and even if you have any thoughts for discussion afterward, be thinking about some of the things that do kind of fence you in a little bit. And the things that maybe you know, just because we're aging doesn't mean that we have nothing left to learn. We still have so much to learn. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more I realize how little I know. And I like learning things. You know, I'm a person that's always wanting to learn. But the one thing that I really need to learn is just to want Jesus more. So another thought I had, and that's Psalm 42, 5 through 11. So if you want to turn to that, I'll give you all a minute. So we can actually instruct ourselves to worship God. We can instruct ourselves to turn to him. When we are struggling, we don't need to stay there. We can instruct ourselves to worship. We can, you know, one of the ways that I do that is I listen to worship music. I'll put headphones on sometimes if I need to. Paris will sometimes turn on a worship channel on YouTube, and there's these really incredible songs that he'll watch. And I'm just like, maybe not openly, but I'll be bawling on the inside going, okay, God, I know I need you. You're the answer. I need you so much. And it's just very healing to me. And for me, that's one of the ways that I instruct myself to worship God. One of the ways that I get myself out of that fog. And in Psalm 42, verses 5 through 11, the psalmist, the psalmist goes from pure anguish You know, he starts out in anguish, and I think he's still in anguish through the whole song. But he starts out that way, but he reminds himself to focus on God. He reminds himself to worship. So Psalm 42, 5 through 11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I probably said that wrong. I hear the tumult of the raging sea as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. To me, that's incredible because I love the ocean and just thinking about waves.
Yeah.
You know? But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. That's it right there, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Don't we feel that way sometimes? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? There we go again, right? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And then it's funny because yesterday before I sent the email out, because Sue always, she inserts this quote from the Lectio Divina 365, Pete Grieg's ministry. And so I looked up the quote yesterday. It was Psalm 95, 6 through 7. So I'm going to read that to you too. It's, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. And I'm just like, yes, Lord, yes, we are under your care. My children are under your care. Everyone that I know that I worry about is under your care.
Yes.
And that is so comforting and encouraging to me. So Lord, I just, in closing, I'm going to call up Keith and Tammy to do a worship song for us. And I'm really excited. I know I'm very glad they said yes. Let's put it that way. But anyways, Father, I just lift your name. I ask that you would help us to long for you so much more, to want you so much more. Remind us each day when we wake up and we feel this painful body, this body that is only temporary. Remind us, Lord, that you are eternal. Remind us of what we have to look forward to. And help us to love you more and more each day.
Amen.
Holy lamps anointed one, and exalted one, your name is like God, on thy lips, your spirit like water, to my soul, your word is a lamp unto my feet, Jesus, I know of you. On my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. My name is like water on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. Anointed one,
Lord, we worship you, yes. Pour out our hearts to you. Say, Holy Spirit, come. We want to hide ourselves in that bag, behind that mask. It's in vain because you know us. You know the real us. You know who we are and what we are and why you've called us. Why you've put us together. You know our purpose. So we look to you, Holy Spirit, for your strength, for your guidance, for your peace and for your comfort, for your joy and for your healing, emotionally and physically, for your strength. As we were reading through that psalm, Psalm 42, and there's that section that says, as deep calls to deep, and your breakers washing over me. I had this thought of the breakers, getting out to that place in the breakers where the undertow can just take us out to sea, out into the ocean, away from the shore, away from security, outside of a boat, or in that water, and the waves are washing over, and again caught in the undertow, and we're just taken out further and further. Deep calls to deep. And I thought of Peter when he said, Lord, let me come to you, call me to come to you. And Peter went walking out on the water to meet with Jesus. And it talks about the storm, when he saw that storm, when he saw the tempest,
he became fearful and began to sink. And I just saw this idea that Peter was putting a bag on his head. And he was getting inside of himself and he wasn't seeing what was really around him. And we've sung that song Oceans in the past. And it's that idea of call me out upon the water.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me out there. Let the waves wash over me. So that's what I got this morning as we were reading through that psalm. So, and you know me, there's a whole lot more.
Okay.
Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks,
Lord.
Thank you. Yes.
Very
nice. Thank you.
So, it's that part of service that the message is up for discussion, but you must direct your questions to Amelia. I'm not here to, you know, interpret what she meant by all what she said. So, have at it. Oops.
Okay.
Tammy?
So one thing that Amelia said that just really struck me is, and I've always, you know, God knows how many hairs we have on our head. But I never really thought, I don't even know that. And so often people want to say, God's not really, doesn't really care about those little things. We don't need to take those little things in. That's wasting his time. He knows how many hairs I have on my head. Something I don't even know.
Right.
So he does care about those little insignificant things that concern us. And then one other thing, that whole idea of worshiping God, and it's this upside down kingdom that we talk about so often, because in the world, when we praise somebody, it's to build up their ego. And we think of it that way. You know, you're building up this person's ego. They want to hear how great they are. But that's not how it is with God. We don't worship him to soothe his ego or stroke his ego to build him up. It's to build us up.
Yeah.
When we worship, it lifts us up. And that's what worship is for.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
Amen.
Amen.
I thought, too, that the hairs on our head. And I've got a lot less than I did even when I was born. I mean, I came out with a hairy head. And he knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows how many are left in the sink, on the hairbrush, in the tub, you know, on the towel, all that kind of stuff. But I started thinking, is it just the hairs here, you know, on the crown of our head, or is it... As we get older, is it the one, you know, for guys, is it the ones coming out of our ears too? And the ones in our nose and on our face, and you know, all of the hairs on our head. He knows them all. And each one is numbered. And I just, you know, Lord, would you take some of these away? Well, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that struck me as well.
Deanna,
just I love what you were sharing, Tammy, and thanks for the message, Amelia. I had a college professor that said that we don't know what it's like to be human if we've never worshiped God. And that you were sharing that. We're so blessed by it because this is the ultimate design that we've been created for, is to worship God. And that singing praises to God, but also it covers a lot more than that too.
That's good.
We're done. Any more comments or
Iron?
Who?
Oh, talking about knowing the hairs on your head and so forth. I remember my dad, who's a wonderful person, and I pray and hope I will see him in heaven. But, you know, he said, well, you know, I believe there's a God, but he says, I don't think they get involved in your everyday things, you know. I think he even said something like, you know, he hasn't got time for all that, you know. But you know, you think about it, you can create the whole universe. You can create everything you see and all that. He can do anything, including knowing all the number of hairs on our head and so forth. In some sense, you just need a bigger God when you think, oh, well, he doesn't care what I'm doing or something. He cares what every one of us is doing, and he loves us. It's mm-hmm. just amazing. Amazing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, Angie.
Well, I know that in my experience that, like in our prayers, waiting, sometimes we have to wait a while, and then while we're waiting, we do learn a lot of what God wants us to learn, but also that he is on time on other things that we feel is an emergency, and he comes through always.
Kimberly.
Hi there. Amelia, great word, and as one who's been privileged to know you for many years, I'm just so proud of how you're so honest and how you grow. And I'm just so thankful for you. And one of the things, I wasn't thinking about hairs on head. I was thinking about how you were talking about getting out of ourselves. And I remember being a student at Regent and, this is when they changed what the semesters from 12 weeks to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So the pressure was really ramped up. And I was in my communication research class and we all had papers due. And it was the last class before the papers were due. And we were all freaking out. I mean, we walked in and we were just a mess. And we had this professor called Dr. Hunzinger. And he was so funny because he was the absent-minded professor. He had like food on his tie and his hair was all wonky and he just, his clothes didn't match. But he came in and he looked at us and he just started chuckling. And we're like, we're just losing it. And all he said was something he said all semester, but it just didn't hit us until that day. He said, remember the kingdom. Always the kingdom. And the room just, the whole atmosphere changed. Here we were worried about our little research papers and getting them in on time and are we going to do well and whatever. He just said, the kingdom. Remember, always the kingdom. And that was how many years ago? 40 years ago? And I still remember that. And that helps me whenever I tend to be overwhelmed. I'm thinking of the kingdom and how Jesus said the kingdom is in you. And when I shift that focus, which is a way of worshiping God, to not just me, but the entire kingdom, everything that Jesus talked about, everything he said, everything, he is our all in all. That helps me so much.
Mm.
Right.
Amen. Anyone else? Oh, Carol?
Yes. I think I focus more on the message of gratefulness. And it brought to mind something that happened to me many years ago when I was working for our community college. And we were having a Christmas party, and it was garbage day. And I was took the garbage pail out, and I have a very long driveway in my house in Maine. And coming back, I slipped on some black ice and fell and broke my leg. It's called a tib-fib fracture.
Both.
So I crawled to my car, turned the car off, blah, blah, blah. Got a hold of 911, and they came and took me to the hospital. It was extremely painful. And it was just before Christmas. So I had to spend Christmas in the hospital. And I started out thinking, oh, my gosh, Christmas in the hospital. for me. And then I think God stepped in and said, wait a minute. Look at all the things you have to be grateful for. This is not lethal. You're not going to die. You know, they had already done the surgery and had a cast on. But it's not lethal. You're going to go home. You have a decent roommate that I was getting along with. I had dinner with my husband in the hospital on Christmas Day. And I, when I got through naming all the things I had to be grateful for, this broken leg shrunk down to a little teeny tiny part, a bump in my life.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, God gives us power with gratefulness. And we need to remember that when you get in a situation where, boy, it looks pretty dark, if you start naming off all the things you have to be grateful for, the big light turns on and your whole life is much better.
Amen.
Amen.
Nurse Carol, I can relate to that broken leg just before Christmas.
You know,
I can relate to that.
I'm not alone.
My dad died about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving in 2008. And it was the 19th, I think, of December that I slipped in the mud and got a radial fracture in the bones just above the ankle. And so I spent, you know, some time in a temporary cast and then went in for surgery to have the screws and the plate and all that kind of stuff put in there. And then the day before Christmas, I was going around, if you guys remember Roy Thomas, he had loaned me, at that time he was doing physical therapy, and he loaned me this little scooter that I could put my knee on and get around. Well, this was before that. I got to Walmart, and I think Don took me, or did I drive myself? Anyway, I was in Walmart on one of the little scooters. And boy, did I feel ridiculous. You know, here I am, this young, strapping young man, and I'm going around on one of them scooters and doing shopping for Tandy the day before. And I'm all hopped up on, you know, whatever pain pills there are. And yeah, I know what it's like to feel sorry for myself, not being able to drive myself around and do all that kind of stuff, and what kind of a butthole I was going through the healing process.
Yeah.
You know, there were times being on crutches and just through that whole thing, just, I hate this. I hate where I'm at. I hate this feeling, this struggle. I'm embarrassed. People have to come over. They have to do stuff for me. And I remember that time before Christmas and how many people, how many of y'all from the church from then, and those of you who are still here that came over to the house and just celebrated Christmas with us. Uh-huh. And it really, I still think about that. I still think about that time, you know, y'all coming over. Then.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people who helped me out during that time, you know, Angie's boys came over and cleaned out the gutters, you know, did the yard for us. You know, there were times Jeffrey drove me around, you know, and then he put up with me being a total butthole. I wish say the actual phrase, but I don't want to. I'm being nice for you guys. You know, in certain situations, in certain circumstances, he just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to let him go and be who he is. And I know God's God, right? You know, and Jeffrey, I don't know if I ever said it enough, but thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and acceptance and all through that entire ordeal that you were like, okay, you can be a baby right now. But I know the grown-up will come out soon. I think that's another thing. So anyway. Yeah, Carol, I can relate.
Yeah. Well, my husband had to take time off and take care of me. And I couldn't put any weight on my leg for a month, I think it was. So he did everything. He did the shopping. I had to shout from the top of the stairs. Here's this field engineer, couldn't get the washing machine going. So I had to shout from the top of the stairs, do this, do that. And one day he said, this is a lot of work. I said, yeah, you know what you're experiencing with doing the shopping, doing the laundry, taking care of the son. You're experiencing motherhood. And he got it after that.
That's not nearly as painful as being a man.
Okay.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Time to move on.
And then no silence.
Okay, let us close out today in prayer and let's just enjoy the message that was given today and we can just meditate on it throughout this week. And of course, she'll be doing the sermon next week, I believe. Yes, no?
We heard that.
Yeah, we heard that.
Interesting. Sorry. So, Father, we thank you for the message that was given today. Again, we will meditate on the words and just enjoy your presence with us as you sit with us as we meditate. And give us, you know, give us the joy and the peace that comes from your Holy Spirit, Father.
Yeah.
And we are grateful for that.
Yeah.
And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.